You're listening to a podcast from 702.
702.
Relationship Talk with Clement Maniatella.
I want us to talk about sexual fluidity today. The person that you are right now may be different compared to who you were a decade or a few years ago. And as people experience the world and learn more about themselves, their views, their beliefs, their feelings may change. And so too can your sexual attraction, right? And that's why, I mean, that's how human sexuality is so dynamic. You may experience changes in who you are attracted to and who you have sex with. There's actually a listener who sent us an email asking that we discuss sexual fluidity because he's struggling to understand how his best friend, who identified as gay for over 10 years, is now married to a woman. And he says his best friend is happy, right? And he's happy for him, but he's struggling to understand that connection. And I want to know from you if you have experienced ongoing changes in your sexual attraction. And perhaps you are a heterosexual woman and you now find yourself being sexually attracted to other women. Has your sexual attraction and preference changed over time? And you could be sexually attracted to a specific gender, but emotionally attracted to another gender. And those are the people who will often say, I identify as sexually fluid. I'm not confused. I know what I want, because often they are told you are confused. You don't know what you want. So you can ask me and I'll get my guest to respond to your questions. What you have around sexual fluidity, questions around that, you can call on 011-883-0702. The WhatsApp line is 072-702-1702. You can share your experiences with us. Maybe you have seen that your attraction changed over time, and maybe you felt confused yourself because you didn't know how to define what you were feeling. My guest this morning is Casey Blake, who is a registered counselor and sex educator with a special interest in sexuality, gender, and relationship diversity. Casey, welcome back to the show. Good morning. Happy Friday.
Good morning. Happy Friday, Clement.
I want us to start off by explaining this concept of sexual fluidity and how different it is from what we often talk about when we talk about the sexuality spectrum and who and where one person identifies. So help us understand that. When you speak about sexual fluidity, what exactly are we talking about?
Well, I think before we talk about sexual fluidity, I think it's very important to talk about attraction, because I think these often get confused, right? So there's so many different ways that we are attracted to people, but I'm going to break it down to the most common five. Right? So we've got emotional or romantic attraction. And that's where you're really, like, you are drawn to people who make you feel a particular way. And, you know, so you just feel emotionally drawn to, there's a pull towards people. Then there is intellectual attraction. Have you ever left a conversation with someone almost feeling turned on, but you're not sexually attracted to them because the conversation was so amazing?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's intellectual attraction. Then we've got aesthetic attraction, the people we really like to look at. And if we could, we would look at them all the time, all day. Right? And then we've got physical attraction, which is different to sexual. Physical attraction is the people you want to touch, the one of people you want to hold, hug hands with, cuddle on the couch. Mm. You don't necessarily want to do anything more than that. Mm. You just want physical contact because that's how you're pulled and drawn towards them. And then we've got sexual attraction, which is the people you want to have sexual engagements with. And we live in a world that told us, all of us growing up, that all of these five kinds of attractions and all the other kinds of attractions are one and the same thing. And you feel all of these for all the people you're attracted to. But we've just, you know, the email you got from your listener, I've just described all the different kinds of ways that we have attractions to people that don't always overlap with sexual attraction.
Mm.
So think about a lot of, because in
recording
society,
in progress.
Mm.
Got it. Because of society's the way we socialize the binary gender into women and men, men are not allowed to have emotional romantic connections with other men if they are heterosexual or have been told to be heterosexual. However they're identified, it is frowned upon. in general society for men to have emotional romantic attractions to men, because the first assumption and accusation is that you're not straight, if that's the case, right? Intellectual is a bit of a fuzzy one, because many people have come up with a term, myself included, I use it, brain crush. You know, when your brain really has a crush on someone.
Yeah.
And it's almost like we say, it's not me, it's my brain. As if it's not part of us.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So I think in terms of sexual attraction, because we are human beings and none of us are static, we are constantly growing and changing. We can come across people who we're not normally attracted to in a particular way that we become attracted to.
And that's really interesting. I honestly have never really looked at these different kind of attractions. So when we look at, let's say, these five that you've given us, when someone says, I'm sexually fluid, and maybe let me also ask it from the perspective of the listener who says, I was friends with this person. They were gay for over 10 years. That's how they identified. That they were sexually attracted to the people of the same gender. And then after over 10 years, they've decided to go get married to a woman, which is on the extreme left, you could argue, if you look at the sexuality spectrum. And they're saying, I don't know how to rationalize that. How do I understand that? Because my friend says, I'm happy and this is what I feel like now. So how do you explain to this listener that that is possible and it can happen? And as someone who is sexually fluid, they can, depending on where they are and how they feel, be attracted to either a woman or a man or non-binary person.
Well, this sounds more like relationship fluidity than it does sexual fluidity. We don't know if the friend is still identifying as gay or identifies as a gay man who fell in love with this woman. We don't know, because if we think about identities, they are there to make us feel like we're not alone. You know, we live in such a heteronormative world where you are expected to be normal, where normal equals straight. So we've got labels for people to see that they're not alone. You know, you're not alone if you've got attraction to someone who's not of a different gender to you. But so many people are straight and find themselves very attracted sexually and otherwise to a person of a similar gender to theirs. And it I was almost about to swear on the radio. It messes with their minds. Because the way you've come to understand yourself within these labels has almost foreclosed options to you. And I think that's the problem with these labels. We don't see them as guidelines or like a general theme of like gathering of things that, you know, make sense for you. We see this as open and closed boxes. You have to be in the box, and then everything in this box that we associate with gay is you and you forever. But very few people are the same person they were 10 years ago. Why would their attraction be any different?
You know, you're reminding me of a clip, and I'm hoping that we can find it, Sinazo. I put a clip on our group about this woman who was explaining attraction and the argument she was making, and some people agreed with her, some people disagreed with her. The argument she was making is that she feels like the men that she has been with in her life have only been sexually attracted to her, but emotionally attracted to their friends. And the examples she gave was, if the men never felt comfortable to talk with me than they did with their friends. They never felt comfortable or made time to chill with me than their friends. Every time I was looking for my man or the men I dated, they were with their friends. Every time they had issues, they never spoke to me about it. They spoke to their friends about it. And they shared that brotherhood. And I wonder how relevant that example, because it just popped up in my mind now. I'll try find that clip and play it. How relevant that is to our discussion, that given the five different attractions you've given us, yes, I'm sexually attracted to you, but actually I may be intellectually or emotionally attracted to this gentleman. And that's why I even spend more time with them. Is that possible?
Absolutely possible. In fact, all of us are in multiple relationships all at once. And it does not, I mean, I'm calling everyone a cheater or non-monogamous.
I'm about it's to ask that, Casey, are we cheaters?
But it's also, cheating depends on your definition of the relationship boundaries. And often cheating is hiding something out of view that breaks those boundaries. right? So a relationship is an agreement, especially if we're talking romantic relationships, intimate partner relationships. There is often an unspoken, sometimes a spoken agreement of what that means. And cheating is very seldom defined. So if someone is kissing someone else, for one couple, it could be considered cheating. For another couple, it's like, oh, well, you didn't have sex. You know, but sex is not defined. We've had this conversation. We can continue having this sex is never defined properly conversation. But to come back to your question, we're all in different relationships that meet different needs. It is impossible for one person to be a village. And therefore, we have different friends for different interests. We've got the friends we watch soccer with. We've got the friends that we have a bit more of an intellectual connection with. We have the friends who we play sports with. Sometimes it's the same group of people, and sometimes it's not. And if we look at all the high school dramas on TV, because I'm no longer in high school, that's how I access high school. there's like, how can you be friends with those people? You're my friend. So people even view friendships from a monogamous perspective.
Wow, that's so true.
Right?
Yeah.
And it sounds like the person who called in really wanted to have more than just a sexual relationship with this person. They wanted a romantic, emotional connection with this person. And that means, you know, the ability to feel vulnerable, to feel safe, to share your inner self without fears of judgment or criticism or rejection. And maybe this person didn't have that connection with her. He had it with his buddies.
Yeah.
And that's often what jealousy is about. I want what you've got, not you can't have it.
Yeah.
Why can't you have it with me?
Why can't you be that emotional and vulnerable with me, but you are that with him or with her? I'm going to take a quick ad break. Casey, when we come back, we'll take some experiences from our listeners. We'll take questions. I see some of the questions are coming through. 011-883-0702. Call me now. Or WhatsApp on 0727021702. Are you a heterosexual, I don't know, woman or man? Maybe there's someone you were close to, right? Who is your same gender. Did you act on that attraction? Was it an emotional attraction? Was it an intellectual attraction? Was it aesthetic? Was it the physical attraction? Or maybe it was a sexual attraction. Have you experienced ongoing changes in your sexual attraction? Yeah. Has your sexual attraction and preference changed over time? And how did you navigate that? 22 after 11.
Relationship Talk on 702.
25 minutes after 11 o'clock, we are speaking to Casey Blake. We're talking about sexual fluidity. And I want to go to your calls now and your WhatsApp voice notes and your text messages. I want you to share your experiences. I want to know if you have been in a situation where you've experienced ongoing changes in your sexual attraction, and maybe you are sexually attracted to a specific gender, but emotionally attracted to another gender. Casey took us through those five different attractions, emotional attraction, intellectual attraction, aesthetic attraction, physical attraction, sexual attraction, right? And I want to know, has your sexual attraction and preference changed over time? You know what? I was laughing, Casey, during the break because I remembered what often happens among us as men. And you often hear it from other men too, who will say, oh, you know, I think Abel is hot. And then they say, no homo. So they always feel the need to put up a disclaimer, right? Someone will say, hey, yeah, Clement, I think you're beautiful. I think you're hot, but yeah, no homo. It's like there's a disclaimer that don't think because I appreciate how you look like, and I would say, you know, I maybe aesthetically attracted to you. Don't think that I am necessarily gay. And now, while I was reading up last night, I realized that for a lot of women, in fact, data shows that it's mostly women who actually often acknowledge that kind of attraction to another woman, that, oh, you're so beautiful, or actually emotionally I am attracted to you. But when it comes to men, it's almost like, whoa, as a man, did you just call that other man beautiful or handsome or hot?
So my favorite answer for this concept is how the patriarchy hurts all of us, regardless of your gender.
Yeah.
Right? So the patriarchy is very much requires and reliant on heteronormativity, the fact that men and women are attracted to each other. It ignores all other genders. So what you've just described is when men want to appreciate the aesthetics of other men and they identify as heterosexual, or they want people to think that they're heterosexual, they have to put the disclaimer to say, I'm not sexually attracted to you. I don't want to have sex with you, but I think you're hot.
Mm.
Right? And it's so sad that people have to say that. It's so sad that they can't just say, I really think you're looking good tonight. And let that just be a compliment,
mm-hmm.
right? And I bring up the patriarchy because women complimenting other women is more socially acceptable because of how the porn industry thinks of lesbian porn, where there's often a man who gets to watch women have sex.
Mm.
And if you're into lesbian porn, you haven't actually seen women have sex with women. You've just seen what men think women do when they're having sex with women.
Mm.
Because that's what mainstream so-called lesbian porn is.
Mm.
So I think that it's more socially acceptable because it fits into the fantasies of those around them. It doesn't like push up against and threaten anyone in particular when women compliment other women's bodies.
Mm. Yeah. How do you deal with the turmoil for someone who's perhaps listening to us now, Casey, and says, that's exactly what I'm experiencing now. And I don't know, does it mean I'm gay? Because I started now, I'm seeing this change in who I'm attracted to, right? For the longest time, my sexual attraction has always been towards this group of people. But now I'm beginning to think and be attracted to this. How do you deal with that internal turmoil? Because you've got many questions and you're asking yourself, what's going on?
Well, my answer for that is you're a human being, and it is not surprising that you are shifting and growing and changing as you create space for yourself. So a lot of people identify as straight-ish, like 99% straight, but one person who's not in my normal gender of attraction, I'm super attracted to, maybe sexually. Well, in this case, it would be sexual because it's the sexual confusion, right? The sexual attraction is causing confusion and turmoil. So, you know, people are straight-ish or gay-ish or queer-ish. You know, they have most of the people that they've been sexually attracted to fall into one kind of category. And now all of a sudden they meet a person, because I think this also throws the whole sexual orientation as, you know, stuck boxes out the water, because we actually fall in love with people. We actually are attracted to people.
Mm.
And that's what causes the turmoils. I'm not supposed to be attracted to you. But I am. Mm. And society says I can't.
Mm. Mm. It's 11:30. When we come back, I'll go to your calls. I'll go to your WhatsApp messages as well. If you've got questions for Casey, you're welcome to bring them forth.
702.
Relationship Talk with Clement Maniatela.
And on our relationship feature this morning, we've been speaking about sexual fluidity. I've got some messages coming through. I'm going to get to them now. And some of the WhatsApp voice notes. Casey Blake is the one who is guiding us through this discussion. She's a registered counselor and sex educator with a special interest in sexuality, gender, and relationship. Let me start with these messages that came through. Superstar status says, Clement, very interesting topic, and I agree with your guest. I've always known that there's no such thing as strictly straight. Dikeledi also says, Clement, intellectual attraction just takes me there with the opposite gender, especially because it is rare. My brain really is crushing. Here's a voice note that's also come through.
Hi, Clement. I identify as queer precisely for this reason of being sexually fluid and allowing myself to be sexually fluid. And I think that's one of the misconceptions about the LGBT plus community, is that the assumption is that you're immediately gay or transgender, but really it's about not subscribing to heteronormativity and any of the binaries that we feel about relationships.
Yeah, thank you for that voice note. Casey, I think this is in relation to a question I also got from Tabiso, who says, Clement, how different is sexual fluidity from bisexuality?
So I love the comment from the queer caller, and I just want to, a lot of people when they hear the word queer, they go, oh no, isn't that a slur? Only if it's used as one. So there are a lot of people in the queer community, myself included, have reclaimed the term queer. So for ourselves, and queer for many people means As she says, or as they say, not buying into heteronormativity, but also queering as a verb is about questioning. Do these things work for me, right? Do these labels and boxes and restrictions work for me? So that's how queer is often used in the queer community. And I love that comment. In terms of your question from the listener, so bisexuality is an identity. And I was thinking about this during the break. And I'm so glad it came up. So identity is how you identify. Only you know how you identify. You can tell me everything you're into and how you feel about things, but I can still not tell you who you are. Your identity is yours, right? So if you identify as bisexual, that means you are sexually attracted to one, to two or more genders, right? Yeah. Where sexual fluidity is often with people who are either queer and therefore the boxes don't really matter, or for someone who has always identified in one particular way and is finding that they're becoming more sexually attracted to people who they're not used to being attracted to, right? And I'm saying they're not used to because society says you must be attracted to these people if this is how you identify.
Yeah. Here's another question from Anonymous. Clement, please can you ask Casey, I'm in a situation where my partner is beginning to question his sexuality. What do I do as his partner?
Ooh, this is really scary for both partners, right? I'm assuming it's monogamous. It's really scary when you've planned out your life in your own mind, you've had conversations with your partner, and in your imaginings, it's always looked in a particular way. And now one of you starts to go, I don't know if this is all I am. And I suppose you've always got options, right? Attraction is just that. It doesn't mean you have to act on it. But do you want to give each other space to figure out if acting on that attraction is what you want to do? Do you want to acknowledge and create space just in your relationship to talk about it and think about it? You know, there are so many options. Just because someone is questioning their sexuality doesn't mean we now have to question monogamy as well. Because a lot of people go, okay, so now, you know, we can just have an open relationship. You're still married and in a committed relationship with me, and you can go have sex with other people. That's only one kind of non-monogamy, but it doesn't work for everyone. So I think over here, I really recommend that you both, as a couple, if you want, to have a space with a professional to talk about this. Someone in the psych mental health field who works with sexuality and gender and relationships. Because this is a really important thing. And I'm sure your partner is really, like, their entire world of how they've understood themselves has now kind of, you know, the carpet's gone out from underneath them. And it's gone out from underneath both of you in very different ways. I don't know if that's a helpful answer, but it's my answer.
I've got so many interesting questions from our listeners that I want to get through. Let's go to Ronaldo in Roodepoort. Ronaldo, good morning.
Hi, good morning, Kim. How are you? Yes. Yeah, with regards to the, like, the heterosexual and the stigma around men calling other men sexy and all that, I mean, I do that quite often. But I'm a straight male, and I got no qualms in saying, shoot, that guy is, like, really sexy.
Yeah.
You know?
That's hot. And what do your friends say, Ronaldo, when you say that?
You know, and people kind of, like, look at me and say, but are you, like, in the closet or what? I say, no, I mean, there's nothing wrong with telling somebody that they are attractive and they sexy and that kind of thing, whether it's male or female. But I think there's this whole stigma that I can't tell something to another man, because then he's going to think, oh, okay, what's wrong with this dude? You know, and it's that whole macho man type of scenario. And I think it's just wrong, you know?
And how do you...
Where compliment is due.
And how do you internalize it, Ronaldo? So as a heterosexual man, when you look at another man and you say, oh, he's so sexy, when you say it in that moment, how do you rationalize? Have you ever paused at some point and had, like, an internal turmoil to think, oh my goodness, why am I finding this other man sexy? Could it mean anything else? Or have you always looked at it as I'm just appreciating this man and that's where it ends?
Yes, I'm appreciating it. It's, you know, it's just one of those things. Look, I grew up with five sisters, so... But for me, it's not an issue, and I don't see what's anything. Why is there something wrong with admiring somebody else because they are beautiful?
yeah.
in their own sense.
Yeah, I mean, society says, you can't. You're a man, you must only admire women. Ronaldo in Roodepoort, thank you for sharing that with us. Casey, any reflection on that?
I'm smiling ear to ear because I'm just thinking how beautifully free that must be for you, Ronaldo, to be able to just acknowledge what you find visually appealing.
Yeah.
And I'm imagining so many listeners going, I wish I had the confidence to do that because we all anticipate judgment from the outside, right? So I'm imagining people going, that sounds amazing. I wish I could. And some people who are really questioning Ronaldo's sexuality because they don't want to think about their own.
Yeah, yeah. It's so fascinating. Here's another question, Casey, that I got here. Hi, Clement. Ooh. What do I do if I can pick up that my partner is gay, but they have not said anything to me about it? Do I raise it or would that be invasive? And I'm not sure here, Casey, because, I mean, this listener is not explaining on this tweet whether what led to them being together. So we don't have the necessary context. Was it pressure? Or is the partner in fact in love with them, but they find themselves being sexually attracted to somebody else? So, and she's asking here, what do I do when I can pick up that my partner is actually gay? Do I raise it or could that be invasive? Do I ask them if they're sexually fluid? What do you do?
Oh, I think you handle this with care. I think you ask yourself what's going on that you think that you know what your partner's identity is and you don't trust what they've told you. But it's also very possible that they are coming to terms with themselves and they're not sure. It's possible that they are bisexual and haven't come out to you or themselves. It's possible that, I don't know. Are you talking about them being effeminate? Could that mean that they're gay? Because that's often a misconception, because a lot of men are not masculine and, you know, however people imagine that to be, that does not make them not straight. Lots of gay men are extremely masculine. And lots of, so I'm curious about what's making you think this. And I'm curious about the context in which your relationship sits. And if there's any pressure from either of you, is it invasive? Very much depends on your relationship, how you bring it up. You know, does that mean you're trying to get out of the relationship? Are you trying to keep the relationship? Like, what's going on? There's no easy answer here without knowing more.
Yeah, and I'll ask this listener, if you can, please can you tweet me again and just give us the context. What are you basing that on when you say you can pick up that your partner is gay? Are you picking mannerisms? Do you somehow think they are, you know, feminine in their mannerism and that somehow makes you think they are? Or is there stuff you've seen and that actually indicates that they have been in those queer relationships? I'd like to give us some more context. After the break, more of your calls, your WhatsApps, your questions as well as we continue this conversation and continue learning with Casey Blake. It's 12 minutes before 12.
Sanlam Investment Management is an authorized FSP.
Relationship Talk on 702.
All right, 10 minutes before 12 o'clock, let's continue with your questions. Someone is asking you, Casey, to clarify again. Remember you gave us the five different attractions, and someone is asking that you explain how you can be attracted to different genders in different ways. So maybe if you can repeat that for us on the different attractions and what you and how you can get different things from different people, and this question specifically says different genders.
Right. So just a reminder, we've got emotion. And these are not the five. These are the five most common that are spoken about in the literature and that we see. But there are infinite number of ways that we are attracted to people. So we've got emotional, we've got intellectual, we've got aesthetic, we've got physical or sensual, and we've got sexual. So I think let's come back to how we feel about our friends. How are you attracted to your friends? How did you become friends? Are your friends' relationships based on a gender filter? Because we're you know, I've said before that sexual orientation is often, I think of it as a coffee filter, but for gender, you know, the whatever you want comes out, or whatever you're attracted to or oriented towards comes out, and the coffee grains and everything else, all the other genders stay in. But just because you are attracted to one gender doesn't mean you're attracted to everyone of that gender. There has to be something about that, which is why gender is not in the attraction lists. It's the ways in which we are attracted to people, and people come in different genders. And I think that's where it gets really confusing, because we've been brought up to believe that gender is the one differentiating thing that makes relationships different, you know? And I think that can get really confusing when your whole life, that's just, it's been gender binary, men and women, men and women, men and women, you know? I think it gets added confusion when we add in the fact that there's a lot of non-binary people and agender people in this mix. And then that starts questioning, okay, so how do I feel attraction? So how do you feel attraction for different genders? You just do. I don't know. I think, you know, give yourself some space and some compassion, and realize that the world isn't as black and white and straight and gay as we've been told it is. You know, there's space for all of us here to just be attracted to who we're attracted to. Also, just because I'm attracted to someone doesn't mean I'm going to do anything about it, right? Like, attraction is just that. It's where I'm drawn towards. It doesn't mean I'm going to do anything, you know? And you know, when you notice an attraction, give yourself permission to be attracted and wonder, I wonder what kind of attraction this is. Is it an intellectual attraction? Is it a sexual attraction? Does this person really appeal to me sexually? Do I want to have sexy play with them? Do I just want to be near them and touch them and do massage together? You know, that could be a physical attraction. What is the attraction? They often overlap, but they're not all the same.
I just want to sit with them and have these intellectual conversations with them, you know, without doing anything. So here's an interesting question. And you can talk to us just broadly about how people in relationships navigate this. One listener says, hi, Clement, keep me anonymous. Me and my partner have actually found a way to make it work. I identify as a heterosexual male, and I'm in love with my partner, who identifies as sexually fluid. And we have made it work in our relationship. I do appreciate and accept that she may be attracted to the same gender, and that's how we've made it work, and it works for us. And I thought, I mean, he's not going into details, Casey, about how it's working for them, because I'm interested to know if, I mean, do they talk about it? Does she always have to come and say, hey, boo, I met that lady there or somebody else, and, you know, this is what I did. I don't know if it's monogamous, what their structure is, but it made me think about just relationships and how people navigate this. So how do you deal with a partner who doesn't understand or even accept this concept of sexual fluidity? How do you navigate it when you're in a relationship?
I think there's so many layers to this, and you've highlighted a bunch of things we don't know in this context. So on a more broad level, I'm going to talk to how bi erasure and biphobia is a very common thing, because people think that bisexual people become either gay or straight, depending on the relationship they're in. And that's not the case. They identify as bisexual. They own and feel comfortable being sexually attracted to different genders, but that doesn't mean that they're not committed in the relationship they are in, right? Which is why I spoke about attraction doesn't mean anything other than attraction. And it sounds like the way this couple has navigated this is they've just acknowledged that the partner who's chosen to be with this straight man has chosen to be with the straight man and still has her own identity as a sexually fluid person. And that doesn't, so she just doesn't have to hide that part of herself. You know, she can acknowledge other people who are attractive, but she doesn't have to pretend that she's not attracted to other people. And still maintain a committed, even monogamous relationship. So many people do, you know, I think relationships are what we choose to be in, and we all get to choose how our relationship is going to relationship. You know, what does it mean for us to be in a committed relationship? And when people, you know, are not as we are anticipating, because we've been raised to not know about options, we get to choose what to do with that information as a couple. and as people in the couple.
Wow, Casey, thank you so much. We've been learning, and we're always learning from you, and I appreciate you making time once again to discuss this important topic on the show. Casey Blake is a registered counselor and sex educator. She's got a special interest in sexuality, gender, relationship diversity. It's going up to 3 minutes before 12.